Welcome to Murph's Tavern, a goddamn Simpsons podcast all about the first 8 seasons, except today, because I'm a liar. I'm Murphy McLaughlin, here with Murph's Tavern, joining me.
What if this was the first episode someone had listened to, and they were like, I like this guy's style.
Who's this second guy coming in, interrupting him? I don't like him.
Yeah. Hey, I'm the real Murphy McLaughlin.
I don't want to listen to this guy.
Yuck, skip.
Bring back the real Murphy McLaughlin.
Can we get an ad in this podcast?
So Tim was right. He corrected himself. It's the first 9 seasons of the show we talk about. And with me, all regular guests, we've got...
If Tim corrected himself, he was wrong.
What?
Tim was right. He corrected himself.
Oh, my God, dude. Yeah, anyway. This is blowing my mind.
Timothy Clark.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
No worries. Rob Caruana.
Hello.
And the most polite person who is waiting for her time, Lucy Caruana.
Hi.
And we are talking about a season 9 episode. It is Bart Carney, which is the one where Bart and Homer get jobs at the carnival and then Carney's take over their house.
Sometimes the episode titles are hard to figure out which one. It's like, which episode is this one? What's the B plot? Bart Carney's the easiest one.
I thought this was an episode about Bart and Kearney.
You stole that from before the record, Rob. I said for the listeners, I was like,
good one, Rob. Rob.
But I didn't finish my little mini anecdote though, because you were like, Carney, his name's Kearney. At primary school, we had a principal called Mr. Carney, and it was spelt the way Kearney's name is spelt. So I would always say Carney was the bold bully.
Riveting stuff.
Well, turns out she's not the most polite guest.
You know, when you introduced me, I was contemplating saying, out of my way, I'm Hitler. And I decided not to. But then I brought it up anyway.
Apparently, a bit of trivia, the director of this episode, Mark Kirkland, he said this is an episode...
Are you sure it's not Kirkland?
He won't let his parents watch this episode because of that line where Bart says, out of the way, I'm Hitler. Because they're like, we're in...
I'm just surprised that he's got control over what his parents watch. Yeah.
No,
son,
TV
can we please watch it?
Mum and Dad, don't watch this cartoon I work on. Fine, we don't wear your parents. Yeah. When are you moving out? We don't watch cartoons.
But yeah, this episode title is kind of like both a really simple explanation of the episode, but also a pun. Because do you know what it's referring to?
It's referring to the actor Art Carney.
Yes, ding, 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 ding.
And I've done no research. He's the Honeymooners guy and then won Best Actor in 73.
Why is it referring to him?
It's just Art Carney, Bart Carney. Close enough.
It's the second time they do that this season, actually, because there's also the football episode called Bart Starr. And there's a footballer, I believe, called Art Starr.
Yeah, but that kind of makes sense because it's referencing a football player.
Yeah.
But what's Art Carney got to do with this episode?
Well, it doesn't, but Carney is a...
Well, that's a strange pun, isn't it? If it's not linked to anything to do
with
the episode.
No, they do
that
all the time, though. They have, like, the pun.
But doesn't a pun have to work on 2 levels? Like, it has to be the pun that would work, like, Bart Carney, the carnival worker... Art Carney because of...
Yeah, it's just a guy who has a similar name.
Let's
get John Schwartzwalder on the phone here. Make him explain himself.
Yeah, he's the writer for this episode. And it does feel quite John Schwartzwalder-y, like a lot of old-timey references.
Old-timey slang. It's got Zoot Suit guy from the 20s.
Yeah. When did Schwartzwalder stop writing... episode. What was his last episode? What season?
I reckon 13 or something.
Yeah, after his main run, I think he got onto a really sweet deal where he could do 2 a year and then eventually went down to 1 a year.
Okay.
And then he just went into novels.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
by
he writes
season
books.
Season 9, is he doing 1 a year or 2 a year?
I think at this point it's probably 1, probably brought in for some uncredited... ghostwriting here or there. Again, I've done absolutely no research whatsoever. You would think I would do some for a Simpsons podcast, and yet no.
But the thing with John Schwartzwalder is you know how they rewrote the episodes like a million times, right? And they'd have the writer's room and they'd pitch heaps of ideas and that and have a good rapport. He, after like season 4 or 5, he never came in because they banned smoking in the building, and he's like chain smoker. Yeah. So he, actually, there's this story of like he used to always smoke in this cafe, and he always sat at the same booth and always smoked. And then they were like, you can't smoke in the cafe anymore. So when he got his first few checks from writing on The Simpsons, he bought that stall and put it in his house.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Oh,
the older I get, the cooler John Schwartzman is. He's just a man who sits in a diner booth in his home, chain smoking, writing episodes of TV, obsessed with baseball and memorabilia, and is a rich old man writing detective novels. He's so cool.
Has ever read any of his time traveling
books? I've read a few. They're really good.
They're really funny, right?
Yeah. I wish I had, because you have to buy them online. You can't get them in any bookshops or anything. But I've read a few, and just like gag.
And great. You can get audio books of them.
Can you?
Read by Art Carney.
Academy Award winner Art Carney.
Speaking of actors, the voice of Cuda in this episode.
Oh, yes.
You're all big movie fans. Can you tell us a bit about Jim Varney?
James to his enemies.
I know that he was in prison and he went to school.
But then they scared him straight.
He saved Christmas.
Was this before or after Africa?
So for the listeners not getting that, he plays Ernest in a lot of movies. And I feel like Australia didn't really get them. I think it's more like you always see them referenced in stuff. But
I was a kid, I saw Ernest movies.
Oh, really?
Ernest was big. Yeah. Ernest was big in cinemas, but it's big video store culture for me.
I never saw him.
Me and my cousins used to go to the video store and always see all the Ernest movies. I remember thinking, like, how many are there? Like, it just seemed like there were so many.
Yeah. There's five theatrical plus, I think, four straight to video, and that goes to Africa and Slam Dunk and stuff like that.
And don't forget The Importance of Being.
Listeners at home cannot see. Murphy was engrossed in whatever the fuck he's looking up on his phone now, and then popped up with such verve and vigor to deliver that dead into my eyes, and then went straight back to his phone, which I can now see he's not looking at. He's looking at photos of the Ernest movies.
The poster for Ernest Goes to Africa looks quite problematic. But there's also Slam Dunk Ernest.
Yep.
Dr. Otto and the Riddle of the...
Yeah, the first couple weren't called Ernest.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that's like a Mondo video, like SNL compilation movie kind of thing where they put him in.
But what's the Simpsons joke about the Ernest movie?
Sideshow Bob's watching it. Or the family and Sideshow Bob watching it in Cape Fear, I'm pretty sure.
But there is another one. It's...
And it's like Ernest goes and...
Ernest, I think it's Ernest Goes Somewhere Cheap.
Yeah, that's
it. Is the gag in... I think that's also the one in Cape Fear.
Oh, right.
Because I always thought when I was a kid...
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of this podcast.
I always thought when I was a kid, the Australian version of Ernest is like Yahoo Serious.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're pretty similar.
Oh, Down Under Ernest... That should have been the sixth one. That's a home
it's got
run.
A bad title though. Yeah. Ernest goes down under.
Ernest, yeah, and he meets Crocodile Dundee.
Oh,
crossover.
There's also crossover. I'm just on the Simpsons Wiki or one of the two Simpsons Wiki. Did you know there's a rival Simpsons Wikis? Yeah. Anyway, it says Bart watched the movie Ernest Needs a Kidney after setting up a date between Edna Krabappel and Woodrow. So there
and
you go.
Isn't Ernest? Doesn't the word Ernest mean like fair? And is that a word? Earnest?
Yeah.
Oh, earnest means like
truthful.
Truthful and fair.
Honest.
And that's why they cast him as the carny. It's a little like joke.
Jim Varney, people might also know from the Beverly Hillbillies movie.
Or and Slinky.
Slinky Dog
Story.
From the Toy Story.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it.
He had a beautiful voice.
Yeah,
Jim
know,
Varney.
So awesome.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. a voice only a packet of cigarettes could love.
He was only 50 when he passed away.
I know. He passed away very, and apparently, by all accounts, a very lovely man. It's a very shame that he died so young. But he, you know, he lives on and is a totemic pop culture figure for all of us.
He came back in Ernest Does Weekend at Bernie's 3.
Oh, God. AI Ernest.
Have you guys seen any of the Ernest movies, though?
I've seen a few when I was younger. Not for years. But I've
now seen one, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, two. You've seen two.
Yeah, because we watched the Chris Stupid.
The Halloween one. And Saves Christmas.
Yeah.
Because we watched them for the holiday season.
Did you enjoy them?
Yeah. I think he's like, it's so over the top.
Like,
silly,
they're so wacky and silly. But the Halloween one has like really good, like, 80s, like, practical effects.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's got like goblins and stuff like that as well. Yeah.
It's really, really good.
And stuff.
And he is like a pretty likable guy, but he's just real wacky.
Is it
silly.
The Halloween one or Scared Stupid where the opening credits is just him making all these faces.
It's like 3 minutes
that's
credits.
All of them.
But it's like a 3 minute song, like, and he's just literally looking in the camera going like all these goofy wackadoo faces.
What's the shtick of the Ernest film? He's just some goofy guy that gets himself into lots of
trouble. He's like a kind of like a rednecky sort of tow truck guy.
Yeah.
And he's just a really like friendly guy. Like wants to help everyone and look
out for everyone. He's good natured, good with kids.
And good with kids. He always ends up mixed with kids. And he's just like always trying to like help people and he ends up in these real wacky situations.
And a lot of slapstick as well.
So in the Christmas one, I think he like something happens to Santa.
Yeah.
He falls off the roof.
Yeah, it pretty much is the Santa Claus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then in the Halloween one, there's like a goblin comes back from the dead or something and he needs to stop it to save Halloween.
I reckon the Carney character he plays and the son Spudford, they would have been good recurring characters almost.
Oh, they would have been. Yeah.
They really seem like Simpsons characters.
Yeah.
I reckon they would be in a good tier like a fat Tony or like a Laura Powers, who it's like there's a not a name guest, but like
yeah.
A guest who it's like you're not known for being on The Simpsons. You're known for being an actual actor somewhere.
He's got
else.
Such a good like voice over voice. A voice like for cartoons and stuff like that.
So good.
What year did this episode come out?
It was 97 or 98.
Okay, so it's after Toy Story.
So
you'd already done Slinky and stuff.
I'm a little ashamed because
as you should be. That was just a general statement. Right?
I didn't bring. So this is season 9, right?
Yeah, the book.
So it's in the massive book that YouTube got me,
it's
and
a bit heavy to
I
carry
didn't
around
bring
on
it.
40-degree day.
Yeah. We forgot to buy you a trolley for that.
But I did.
So now you have to rely on seasons 1 to 8, which is just a.
But
a bunch of crumpled up pages in your backpack now.
Do you know the character though?
Yeah, I've got a photo of the book.
I would assume
so should we guess it?
Yeah, have a guess.
I mean, we're all guessing Cuda.
Well, just to be different, I'll guess the Tex guy. What's his name? What's his last name?
Colonel Tex.
Well,
is
this
in this
when they name him?
I think so, yeah.
Colonel Tex.
Yeah, because he popped
that
up.
Card guy.
Card guy.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, the card shark.
Oh, yeah. That's, I think, his first appearance is when. Wait, is that what you're saying? When he's at the casino?
No. The guy that Homer's like, that guy looks...
He's a rube.
You're saying that's who you think is the character then. Right, okay.
And I think the character in the book is Homer Simpson. He's quite prominent.
For a second, I thought you were going to say that card guy comes back.
That's such a good gag, though, when Homer's trying to look for suckers. And that guy. Yeah, that's real good.
So is it Cooter and his son?
Yeah, it's Cooter and his son is who they've chosen, yeah.
And what's their catchphrase?
Cooter's catchphrase is... Oh, hell, the Cooters have been carnies ever since we came here in 1620, clinging to the side of the Mayflower. So do you get that joke, by
Well,
the
Murphy's
way?
Just reading off his T-shirt he brought tonight.
What's not to get?
Well, you might not know what the Mayflower is.
I know all about Thanksgiving, okay?
Okay. What picture, though? Here you go. What picture do you think they've chosen as the spread? Like, they have a drawing for the two pages.
I've got a feeling it's Homer as the pigeon.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Is it them sitting on the pig?
No.
Is it the hamburger that like?
No. Is it the ring in the door in the peephole?
No.
That's my favorite piece of animation.
That does look good. Yeah. Mark Kirkland, if only your parents had seen it, they would have been proud of their boy, because there are some good shots in this episode. No, it's Homer and Bart about to eat the chickens. You're on the right on the theme with animals, Tim and Rob, but
I gotta say, I really enjoy this episode.
I reckon this really feels like a season 9 episode, but I reckon it's probably one of the strongest of season 9.
Yeah.
And I love that whole twist at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's kind of obvious. But when I was a kid, I just never saw that coming.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
And so I actually thought it was really funny when they run in the house.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's really good. It's structured pretty well. Like, it's
a lot of stuff in the first act comes back to help in the third act. A lot of running gags. It's really fun.
You know what? Oh, sorry, go, Liz.
Oh, no, you go.
No, you go.
I'll step in here.
I do really like this episode, but like Rob said, I can really tell it's a season 9 episode.
Yeah.
And I just think if it was a different season, like an earlier season, every joke would land.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm only finding myself laughing a couple of times in this episode, but an earlier episode, I would just be laughing at every joke.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been to a carnival?
We had the Geelong show when I was growing up.
I've been to the Geelong show. Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like a dodgy carnival with games and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, yeah.
And what show bag did you get from there?
Birdie Beetle.
Did they not have a Simpsons one?
No, they did have a Simpsons show bag. And I think it had like Simpsons chips and a few Simpsons comics in there, but I think because I owned all the merchandise anyway, it was just all stuff I already had.
Yeah, I definitely got a Simpsons show bag at one of the shows, and it was a comic book and Simpsons CCs, which was at the time CCs with Tarzan. Fuck, it was so cool.
Yeah,
life was so much better when I didn't have to pay bills or work.
When I was a kid, I went to the Melbourne show. And I got the Ren and Stimpy show bag.
Oh, yeah.
Because you either got a plush toy of Ren or Stimpy.
Oh. Really?
And so, and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'll buy it. And then somehow convince someone else to buy me another one. And anyway, when I got it and I opened it, it was just a teddy bear in there.
Oh, really?
And then the guy was like, we ran out of the Ren and Stimpy things.
And you went, you idiot!
Can't just put a teddy in there.
Because it's the Ren and Stimpy show, but I was expecting like a can of like rancid beans, and then it's like a really close up of it goes.
Do you know my dad worked in a circus?
Oh, right. Right. Yeah, I tell you about that? Dad was a carny.
Yeah, so
you were Spud.
After my parents got divorced, my dad ran away to the circus. And then
he took it well.
That's literally what he did. My mum was like, well, I'm going to become a nurse and buy a house. And dad's like, I'm running away to the circus. And he went and worked in a circus. And he worked there for a few
My wife
years.
Won't let me be a juggler.
And he got fired for showing up late to work. But he lived at the work. Like, he lived in a trailer.
Well, his ring toss game got towed, so... Yeah.
And that's like the worst firing of all time, because at that time, not only was that circus his job, but it was his home too. So he got fired from his home, because you're not allowed to live there anymore, obviously. So...
Wow.
But I used to go visit and, like, hang around. And one time, I was hanging around in, like, an area people aren't meant to be.
Oh.
And this lady came over and she was like, oh, hi, little boy. Do you work in the circus? And I was like, yeah, I do. And then one of the actual carny boys goes, he doesn't work in the circus, and just humiliated me in front of these like visiting guests. So I was like, I never forgot that.
And you're like, I'm never going to a carnival again. That's why when we watch this episode, you're like sweating a lot.
I work here.
But is there a difference? I think there's a big difference between circus folk and carny folk.
Yeah, circus is like acrobats and stuff.
Yeah. Magicians. Yeah, like trained professionals. Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty of carnies in the setting up of circus tents and the transportation.
That would have been my dad. Like, he had to set up the lion cage.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, I reckon that's what he used to do.
I reckon your dad worked with a bunch of carnies. I reckon your dad might have been a carny.
I like how you say, whoa, the lion isn't there for the assembly. They're not just like, quick, quick, before it escapes. Yes. Build it around the lion.
I think
they
Murphy's
build it and then let it in. My dad's well and truly gone.
I think Murphy's picturing like someone setting it up in like a one-bedroom apartment. Like setting up a cage for a cat. Yeah. Like, no. Yeah. Mr. Mittens, get back. I'm not done yet. You can play in the box.
Do you think a lot of the games you played were rigged? Like when
at my dad's circus.
In general, like when you've been to
They're all rigged. And stuff. Yeah.
I know for a fact the ones at my dad's circus were rigged.
Oh yeah.
I get into I months ago went into a real YouTube rabbit hole of looking up like rigged fair games. Like there's a bunch of people going around the US. The US is fucking mad for fairgrounds.
Yeah.
They love carnivals. They just want a distraction, those people. What a country. It's a lot of series about people going around exposing, you know, how rigged these games are. And some of them, the way they're rigged, very interesting.
Yeah, right.
I love that they were like, let's come up with a bunch of rigged games to con everyone, put them in a field somewhere and charge people heaps of money. What are we going to call this rigged festival? The fair.
I've never noticed that. That's great.
But people will think it's real. Well, we all kind of know it's rigged.
But
people will stop. Oh, no.
And people will only pay like a little bit because they know that there's never going to be a way they win. Oh, no, we'll charge ridiculous amounts.
The biggest rigging...
They'll win something good, right? Imagine the biggest Tweety Bird you've ever seen.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if you win, you're still getting conned.
You're taking their rubbish away for them.
Maybe that's why people don't get that upset that the games are rigged because they don't want the junk anyway.
And I think you're giving too much credit when you say the biggest Tweety Bird. That's like high-end carnivals.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's just fluorescent dog.
it's
just some random character you've never heard of.
Similar thing at Time Zone and those sorts of places, right? How you had to get like so many tickets to win the shittiest thing.
300 tickets for a bouncy ball or something.
Yeah, but hey, those bouncy balls are pretty good, man.
Yeah, they are.
Outside of carnivals, have you guys ever been conned in life?
I mean, I probably have.
Well, because me and Luce went to America together and we got conned in almost every state.
That was the whole trip. Like, you're like, we're going to get conned in every state.
Because when we were in New York, there was like a guy riding past on one of those like trolley things that pulls on the back of a bike. And he's like, hey, get on. And we're like, oh, no, that's all right. We don't do that. And he's like, no, get on. I'll take you around the city. It's the best way to see the city. And we're like, no, thanks. That's all right. And he's like, come on. And we're like, okay. And so we got
on. Well, he really tricked you with his persuasive language.
And he rode around the block.
Now, careful. We might get in trouble with the ombudsman with a con like this.
And he rode around the block for like 5 minutes. And then we're like, all right. And then he pulled over and let us off. And we were like, anyway, thanks. And he's like, oh, hey, hang on a second. And he pulled back this jumper that was overhanging the side of his cart. And behind the jumper, it said...
$12 a minute.
$12 a minute.
Oh, no.
And he had rode for 5 minutes. And I was like, oh, I don't have that money. And he's like, I'll just wait till you go get it from an ATM. And
he like dropped us at the place where we like at Rockefeller, so we were like planning to ice skate. So we wanted to do this, and we were gonna run.
Luce was like, "Let's just go!" Like, because then,
but you're already wearing like, your skates.
He's like, "There's an ATM inside there, so you can go get the money, and I'll wait." And Luce is like, "Let's just walk off." And I was like, "Are you serious? Walk off? What if he sees us again?" We're in New York City. He'll easily find us. So anyway, and then when we're in New Orleans, this one lady was like, you, and just grabbed us when we were walking through this big festival and was like, come in here now. And we were like, no. And she like pretty much pulled us into this bar and then put shots in our hands. And then goes, let's drink it. And I was like, oh, no, thanks. Because me and Luce don't really drink.
It was even worse. She put a shot in, it was like in a test tube. She put it in her mouth and grabbed your head and then put the test tube in your mouth.
Pretty much forced
it. What the hell?
And then did it to me.
And then we were like...
And then
like,
you woke up without your kidneys.
We were like, thanks. And then she's like, all right, cough up, $25 a shot.
And that's like flat out robbing you.
But the biggest con was in San Fran. There was... This is the last one. But this guy came up to us when we were just having dinner. And he goes, hey, man, you have to give me $10 if I can't tell you where you got those shoes at. And pointed at my shoes. And because we were from Australia, I was like, he'll never guess it. And I was like, all right, fine. And he's like, you got those shoes at your feet. And then I was like, oh, hang on. And he's like, give me the $10. So I paid him. And then like a day later, we were having dinner and this other guy came up and was like, hey, man, you have to give me $10 and I can't guess where you got those shoes at. And I was like, I got those shoes at my feet. And flames grew in his eyes like he was going to murder me. Like, I was like, oh, God. He just looked like he was going to stab me. So, anyway, but he took my shoes and then left.
You're in the US.
So, anyway.
Oh, damn. No, I mean, you hear those stories all the time, though, of, like, them taking advantage of tourists,
yeah,
right?
Of course. And,
like, my friend, I think they guy, like, basically put a little bracelet around his wrist, like, as soon as he got off the... Like the bus, this guy came up to him, attached a bracelet, and hey, there's a bracelet for you. $100. And then it was like, nah. And then like these guys came around the corner and were like, you're going to pay him, right? So yeah, it was all, yeah.
The best con story I ever heard was my friend went to Mexico and he said that he was walking with like four of his friends just down the street. And this one guy came over to him and he was like, hey, 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 how are you? Like real energetic. And he's like, hey. And he's like, come with me. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. And they like, they were like, what? And they just pretty much pushed them into this doorway and they started walking down this hallway and there was just people lined in this hallway. And as they were walking, they're like, hey, here they are. And they were like patting them on the back and high-fiving them. And they're like, just keep on going. You're going to love it. And they were like, what the? And then they got to the end of the corridor and the door opened and they just went, and pushed them out and slammed the door. And they were just in the back, like, car park. And all their wallets and everything were gone. Like, they had just pickpocketed everything they had on them.
What the hell?
Yeah, and then so then they walked around back to the front. And they were like, hey, you guys just stole all our stuff. And there was just one, like, bouncer guy at the front. And he's like, no, he didn't. Just get out of here.
So oh, no. Yeah.
Actually, so yeah, the Simpsons. pretty.
We there's a lot of good stuff at the carnival in this episode at the ring toss game. I think my favorite bit is Skinner and his mum when.
Oh yes.
He's like
beautiful looking knife.
Yeah,
I love
the
design of the knife.
But yeah, I like how Bart's like, hey there, you and your girlfriend. Like,
yeah, I love how charmed they are.
Yeah,
by
yeah.
Bart. It's like you don't know this kid?
Well, but then he says, he clearly does because he goes, now Simpson, tell me.
Just like charmed by him though.
Yeah.
I love like the games in the background. Like one of them's like knock over the fuzzy man.
I like with the whack-a-mole guy. He's like, did you call me Spike?
Yeah. Fantastic Captain
Dan. Oh, you're Fantastic Dan.
I forgot we only seen Fantastic Dan once. I want him to come back.
Well, he does. In a later episode, when Apu is like wowing Manjula.
That's right. He's the Sky Rider.
Sky Rider guy that Homer gets in the fight with.
I forgot about this.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. And that came after this episode. So it's a bizarre character to bring back.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know, I feel like one of the more classic moments from this episode is when Wiggum's trying to get a bribe from Homer.
I was going to say, I love, this is Mr. Thompson in Cape Fear, we were talking about before. I love when people are explaining something very simple to Homer and he just can't get it. So good.
Yeah.
It's a ring toss game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, big laughs all around the room.
I also like later when they keep pitching to burn down the house. I like that they just really just... they. keep going with it.
There are some, yeah, the fire, the, I love the ding, ding, ding ice cream yeah. joke. There are some real all-time gags in this one.
What about the joke where he's passing the cigarette butt? The cigarette through his body parts.
I was keeping track whether or not he's using the same hand because I've seen people do the same trick with the, you know how it goes, you just push it into your palm.
Yeah, yeah.
He is doing the same hand.
Yeah, so he might not literally have passed a cigarette through his bowels.
But then he says, can we see it again? And he goes, you have to give me a few minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a few, like, I feel like this is when the show started getting a bit grosser. Mm. Like, I don't know if you would have seen a joke like that in the early seasons.
And
like,
the bone, the dislocated yeah, bones and stuff.
And the buckets with
Homer drinking spew. The bath.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, because there was a delete. I don't know if you saw it before, but there's a deleted scene where after he does that, Bart goes, "Cool, man, you shit that out." They wouldn't have allowed that in season two. You fucking shit that out of your ass, dude. Don't have a cow. It's I can see why they cut it.
I think
he's lying.
I love the rides, though. Like... The ghost train?
Yeah, that's really good. Part. Yeah.
I always forget how long the ghost train is. And I always forget the second part. It's always so good.
Have you ever been on the ghost train at Luna Park?
I did, yes. And it scared the hell out... Oh, pardon me, I accidentally turned my microphone off then. Mainly because I was so scared of the ghost train when I was a child and I was afraid to go back.
Times have changed.
It certainly has.
Budgets for the...
I went back a few years ago and times certainly have changed.
Has the train changed or have you become braver?
I think a little bit of both.
It's like identical to that episode.
Oh, yeah, really?
Me and Lucy did it for our anniversary. Like, it's like our anniversary 1 year and we're just looking for something small to do. And we're like, let's go to Luna Park. We haven't been there for years. And then we went on the ghost train and it is so bad. Like, there was one part where you just go past a like dog, like a statue of a dog, and they've just wrapped fairy lights around. Like, that was like, the scare. And,
yeah. It was like dark for like a minute.
With like nothing happening. I love any jokes where you see like workers smoking. So they do that so much on The Simpsons where you see behind the scenes, it's like,
Or something.
And that guy just working on the ride and he's like, boo.
That's
so great.
Oh, speaking of Luna Park, I love Luna Park. And the roller coaster there, the scenic railway, that reminded me of the tooth chipper in this episode because it is actually, it hurts you as well on the scenic railway. Like, if you go on that roller coaster at Luna Park, it's not scary because it's like you're going up and down. It's scary because you're actually in
danger.
It was built in the 40s and it's made of wood.
It legit.
And it drops
near
you like
near the seaside. Yeah. It's all rusted and stuff.
Yeah.
How come you have a poster of Luna Park on your wall, Tim?
He put it up just for this episode.
Yes, I have a framed photo of...
That's not the same one.
That it seems to be a Japanese Luna Park. And I'll tell you why I have it. Because I ordered some other art and that one came free with delivery. And I had a spare frame.
That Luna Park looks way better. Yeah, it looks like an actual park.
Yeah, it's a fun...
Where animals live.
Yeah, something I didn't realize...
It's a fun little painting of a little mountain,
I only found that out recently that Luna Park is actually like... It's not just the two theme parks in Australia, the one in Melbourne, one in Sydney. It's like a universal term almost.
Yeah.
It's like a... I don't know if it's
I've
a franchise,
it in movies
but it's
before.
Just... And yeah, I remember because I watched Futurama and like their second episode is them going to the moon at Lunar Park, L-U-N-A-R. And I was like, oh, wow, they're referencing the Australian theme park. Yeah. That's like, oh, are Americans going to get that? But yeah, I think the one in like Coney Island was New York was called... Luna Park 2, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. But you don't.
Luna like the word for moon in like French or something?
And Italian as well? I think it's a romantic root. But
Luna might be the Italian one and then.
Romantic
Luna's
root. I should be so lucky.
But only the Australian ones you walk through the mouth.
Yeah, I think that's.
Exit
I should be so
through
lucky.
The rectum.
Just like the cigarette.
Yeah, yeah. So. Did anyone... This is a bit off topic, but on topic about cons and carnies and stuff. Did you guys see that Wonka experience that they just did recently?
Ah, yes. Yeah. Like,
yeah, so fill me in on it because I...
So in the UK, obviously because they've done a Willy Wonka movie and it's been quite successful. And it's a British movie. So
yeah.
This was in Glasgow, actually. they advertised this Wonka experience, and the guys used AI to create all these images and put it on this website,
right,
and be like, this is what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
And so parents were real jazzed for it. And they charge like $60 to $70 Australian for a ticket. And so all these people bought these tickets for it, and then they went, and it is like probably like this carnival in this episode of The Simpsons is like Citizen Kane compared to this. And
it looks like the Dr. Frightmare Sting,
right, yeah,
carnival ride, but for
it's
Wonka.
So bad. But my favorite part by far is they hired actors who are mostly like comics in Glasgow, and they used AI to write a script. So they've just typed in keywords like Wonka, Glasgow, chocolate, and things like that. And then AI has generated back this 17-page script that I found online and read to Luce in its entirety.
Oh my God. It
just
because
it's so
hilarious.
He's
like, Rob, I'm running late for work. just 15 more pages.
But yeah, it's really good. And it's, but there is like quite a big part of it where there is a character that this AI generator just made up called The Unknown that was like scaring kids. And he would hide behind a mirror and kids would come past and he would like jump out with this mask. You got to watch it on YouTube. It's really great.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, parents got so angered by it that they called the cops. And the cops came and now all the money's been refunded and stuff. Really seems like something that Art Carney would do.
Yeah, that's cool.
We should do our own. Yeah, and I'm glad you said it was cool because I was going to suggest we do a Simpsons experience.
Yeah.
Now let's go back to Murphy and see whether or not that's cool.
I want to cool. do that because okay. you're so good at all the Simpsons impersonations.
Yeah, I could
do a poo.
Who's your best? Yeah.
I reckon my best is probably Barney.
Your Barney's
kids can come
good.
In
your
and I'll be dressed as myself. I have like a beer gut and I'll like be drinking a beer. I'm like, hey everyone, welcome to the Simpsons exhibit.
With that voice, people will feel like they're getting their money's worth. Yeah. You really do need to host it as a poo.
Or right. Dr. Hibbert.
Who's the one you do the worst, would you say? Who's the one, the hardest one?
The ones that kind of have regular voices, I'd say.
How's like, your Homer?
I don't think I've ever seen anyone do a good Homer.
Yeah.
Homer's very so hard to hard. Do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go try.
It's like, Marge, come on, I want pork chops. I still haven't seen a good Homer. Marge. It's hard.
What about his old one? Like,
let's all go out to Frosty Top One Pork Chops.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, the old ones.
Fucking hell, sounds like Nixon.
It really did. Yeah, the old ones are just sort of Walter Matthau, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Frosty chocolate milk. It's hard.
It's so hard because Homer is very similar to Dan Castellaneta's actual voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's why.
I can do a good one.
Here we go.
Okay. Is that Krabappel? Yeah. Oh.
It was either Krabappel or half of Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
But in reality...
Just when you, Bart opens
yeah,
the door.
Yeah, yeah.
But in reality, you do a really good Nanjula. So do that one.
No, you do a good...
But that's because you've had 8 babies.
You know, you've done it on this podcast is Grandma Flanders. Do it now.
Did you think that was good?
Yeah.
I can't believe you didn't remember that.
Go do it.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Hey, you know, on this podcast, you speculate a lot, when will it end?
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of the time you say probably when one of the main voice cast dies. But now, considering they've recast so many characters, do you reckon they would just do that with the main characters?
I just don't see how they could respectfully keep the show going if one of the family member voices passed away.
May I point this out? They won't try and respectfully continue it. I think we're going to get into an AI situation if they die in the next couple of years, unfortunately.
But you know what's weird is, like, for our generation, Simpsons is huge, right? And it's the number one animated show of our generation. Mm. So it seems like sacrilege for them to recast the main characters. But if you think about any other generation, and their like staple cartoon show, like Scooby-Doo or Bugs Bunny or even like the Muppets, so things like that. All of those characters have been recast with new voice actors.
Yeah, yeah.
But even those ones still had, like, Mel Blanc was doing it for 40 years and Scooby-Doo was, like, doing it for 40 years. And I think they eventually got replaced. But I don't think it's the same as the... I just don't like the idea of it. Just fucking end the show, for God's sake.
It would bring in a lot of viewers, I reckon. I reckon a lot of old-time viewers would probably watch it if they got a new Homer.
Yeah, and there'd be
the
people...
one episode at least, out of curiosity.
Chris Pratt as Homer.
It's me, Homer.
Any other favorite moments from this episode for you guys? I quite liked when Homer and Bart are getting the shark attacking the boat, and Homer goes, "You call yourself the king of the jungle?"
Very good.
I love the visual gag of them laughing through the mailbox.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That is really so funny.
That's my favorite part, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I love, is it? It's Jim Varney does the break. Like, he laughs and closes it and then opens it again and laughs.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah.
That's so great.
I do like when they're at the fair and they see the yard work simulator. Although I kind of think they ruined it a bit when Marge goes, "But when I train."
Yeah, I know.
It was like,
really,
yeah,
like,
we get the joke. Like, you didn't have to. It's even, they do something like that later when Bart drives, is in the Hitler car and drives over the guy putting the nail in his nose.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Ow." And that's funny. But then he goes, "Oh, that's so painful." Oh, I was like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of ruined it a bit by, yeah.
But you know when they say that Hitler's body is in the trunk?
Yeah.
Isn't there a similar joke in another episode about, like, is it the guy that operates Robbie the robot?
Oh, yeah.
And then,
oh,
like, the door swings open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you see a little. Yeah.
What? That's true. Yeah, I, this, you know how when you're watching a Simpsons episode and you think, well, this gag is coming up. It doesn't happen. You're like, oh, I guess it must happen in another episode. Mm. I always do this with this episode with Hitler's car. I can't remember which one it is. Like, Homer yells at Bart, "Hey, get out of there. Show some respect." He bangs the glove box. It pops open and there's a bunch of money in there. What's
think
that
it's
one?
When he's in the plane, right?
No, it's when they're going to buy a car and he gets the snowplow and it's Bonnie.
Oh, Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Because I get confused because they mention Bonnie and Clyde's car in talking about Hitler's car.
Oh,
and then that's it. Bonnie and Clyde's car in the Mr. Plow episode. Well, we've solved all the mysteries of the universe.
Except for why Art Carney. I'm still scratching my head over that one.
I got one last question. When Homer and Bart are going to bite the heads of the chickens, they're like, it's a geek show?
Yeah.
What is that?
So you can go ahead, Rob.
No, you go, Tim. Explanation.
I think these type of performers were called, like, the early 1900s, geeks.
Oh, okay.
They would go around, like, the guy putting a nail in his nose, that's also a geek. So geek shows were, you know, the freak shows of the time.
Right.
They would also bite the heads off chickens.
I was
going
to say guys with glasses at college. So I'm glad Tim took over. No, but I think, have you seen the movie Freaks?
Yeah, yeah.
So in that movie, I think they say geek a few times.
Oh, okay, right.
And Nightmare Alley is about geeks as well.
Yeah. And which is, it's also a weird joke because they start to, like, bite the chicken, like, not in front of the audience. They're just, like, doing it right there.
Well, they're hungry.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. And then they've got them in their mouths.
Yeah.
But it's like, why would you just be sucking?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
They got four fingers. That's less than the amount they should have. And no one's mentioned it.
I do like that. This is a great opportunity for Bart to use his old-timey slang and stuff.
That's my favourite.
Because he's always saved phrases that
get
are just
on the
like,
trolley, home.
Yeah.
He says waka waka.
Yeah.
Sounds like Fozzie Bear says that.
What do we reckon out of 10?
I'll go first. I'm a big fan of this, but not every joke is amazing. There are some really good ones. I would go 8 out of 10.
Okay. Loose.
I'm going to go with 6
because
I still like it, but it just doesn't compare.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so strange how quickly it was a different show.
Yeah.
I some people just don't seem to care or notice that at all. about like season 9 and 10, they're like, no, it's still as good as it's always been. But for me, it is such a change.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Wow, it's so different.
I was thinking about this recently. I remember as a kid, like in real time, seeing season 9 and thinking, I still enjoyed it, but thinking something seems a bit off.
Right. Yeah, I had distinct memories of that too. And I remember at the time thinking, maybe it's because I'm getting older and I'm getting less interested in The Simpsons. But like here I am, years and years later, spending an hour of my Saturday talking to it. So I don't think that's it.
Yeah.
And I really want to like it. Like, I'm not sitting here judging it. I'm like ready to laugh.
Yeah.
And it almost has everything that works. Like, if you told me Jim Varney's going to be the guest star, I'm like, that's a great choice.
Yeah, I love him. I'm
and
so
it's about the
board.
Carnival. I like carnivals. Yeah, but it's just something. It's like maybe the golden years. It seems like every joke just lands.
Yeah.
There's episodes, every joke I'm just like...
We're spoiled.
Yeah, and I really feel like I'm getting like a bit tired from laughing some of those episodes.
Yeah.
You don't even laugh at some of the greatest jokes because you've been laughing so much.
Yeah.
But this one, I think maybe like every third joke lands or something. So I love how sneaky season 1 is because like people are always like, the first 8 was the best. And season 1's just like,
I'm here as well. Remember when it was really sad Marge might cheat on Homer?
Homer committed suicide or attempted to.
Do you like good jokes and good animation? Too bad.
The best explanation for why The Simpsons got worse was actually on your podcast on one episode. I don't know.
They listened to your podcast and they thought, well, why try to be good?
I don't know who said this, but someone was, maybe it was even you, was saying on the podcast once, the early years, they were all really young guys and they would just stay up late into the night, order pizzas, work till like 4 in the morning, just never stop because they took so much pride in it. Then they got all a bit older and they brought new people in and a lot of them were like family people and it got to like 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock and they're like, we gotta go home and be with the kids instead of working on this show. And I it might have been you or whoever said it was like, it's weird that them actually operating the show like it's a healthy work environment makes the show so much worse.
I've said it before. Good working environments mean bad art. Crunch is good. These visual effects artists in Hollywood are whinging.
So I think if they want The Simpsons to be better again, they need to hire this guy that I met in San Fran. He's got a great shoe bit, and he could write some good Simpsons episodes. And he'd work all night. He doesn't have a family. He just has my shoes.
Did you end up giving it what out of 10?
Yeah, I'll give it a 7.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 7.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites of the season, but it is wonky.
Willy Wonky.
Willy Wonky.
Also, my favorite show bag was The Wonker.
The Wonker's a good show bag. Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't even like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
But I liked the candy.
You don't like the movie?
Not the classic one.
The 70s one. Yeah.
You don't like the 70s one?
Your favorite movie.
It's like one of my favorite films.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh. I need to rewatch it. It gave me weird vibes as a kid, maybe that's the purpose of it.
My mum loves that movie, so I didn't mind it too much. But when Luce explained
I can
see what she means because it does.
It's a bit,
the start of it really sells that this is like a really like dreg sort of place. Like London is, it's all grey and it's grim and it... Just to set up the later movie when they go to the factory and it's colourful and it's bright. But as a little kid, you might not get that they're doing this like comparison thing and just be like, the start of this movie is grim.
I loved it.
I remember, and sorry, we need to wrap this up.
Nobody ever goes Willy Wonka. In. Nobody ever goes out.
Jesus, that's pretty good.
I should play him at the carnival, not Barney.
Were you the creator of the Wonka experience?
You got
that's
me.
That's why you were pretty quiet.
But the Wonka show bag has nothing to do with the movie, right?
Nah.
Wasn't there just... Is that
no, there's words. A Charlie Bucket figurine.
That Wonka confectionery.
You know, like God's...
It's not still around, is it?
They had the good stuff.
Do they still have Wonka confectionery?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's back bigger than ever.
Yeah. You haven't had the everlasting gobstopper?
Timmy Chalamet. Now all the kids are talking about him.
Now you can buy the unknown jelly beans. He was that scary guy.
Oh, yeah.
The
longer experience. They should bring out Slugworth candies that are bad.
Professor Slugworth?
Is that the other guy? Slug? Yeah.
Yeah, Slugworth.
No, that's you're from thinking Harry
Slug Horn.
Oh, Slughorn.
That's save it for a Harry Potter podcast.
Yeah. Speaking of the horn, we've all got the horn, so let's get out of here. The end. Is that how you end it every week?
Yeah, you're spot on.
As we say at the end of every episode, let's fuck.
Have you got anything to plug, Rob and Liz?
Yeah, I do, actually. Because we recorded Simpsons a Simpsons podcast with you talking about the Simpsons movie. We recorded
this is a good timing.
We recorded in 2007 when the movie came out. No, it was a long time ago we recorded it, and I just finished editing it. And you're saying it's good timing, like it was intentional.
Well, yeah, because originally we recorded it while we recorded an episode that you guys were on of this one where we did the shorts.
Yeah, and now we talked about releasing them at the same time. And I was like, yeah, for sure. And then when you left, I was like, oh, boy.
I think you went, hey, when's this one going to come out? And I was like, oh, in a week. And you're like, I thought you recorded them months in advance. I was like, sometimes, but no, this one's actually pretty fresh. And I could see, like, the color drain from
you. When you asked me to be on the podcast today, I was like, I just couldn't face you with you asking me, like, what happened to the podcast? So I worked all night. I worked real hard, and then I put it up this morning. So, yeah, go listen to that. And it's me, Murph, and Luce talking about the Simpsons movie.
Mm. Check it out.
Wait, we didn't invite Tim. He was there, but he wasn't on the podcast.
I was too busy working on my comedy festival show, which I can plug now.
Yeah.
When's this coming out?
In a week or so.
Oh, no. I haven't written my show at all. Oh, God. I thought you planned this 4 months in advance. Oh, no. Oh, no.
No, yeah. Mid-March, I think this will be out.
Oh, great. I'm doing a show in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Come on down. It's called Legal Thriller. It's in the same room at Pilgrim Bar that Rob Caruana was in six or so years ago.
When he broke his neck or whatever.
Yep. I was in that room 6 years ago. And I did a show in that room once, too.
There you go.
And you don't con anyone at your festival, do you?
I don't. I don't threaten my life or the life of any audience members or the staff.
But you kind of con show people. Bags.
When we did that, because when you did the show about Halloween or whatever, I was in the crowd and then you got me up to be someone that owned a doll. And it wasn't actually meant to be a con. Like, people knew that I was just whatever, a fellow comic. But I remember one person was like, hey, because I helped you fly one night. And they were like, he's the guy that gave me the flyer. He doesn't own that doll.
Get him.
But yeah, it's a Legal Thriller.
Legal Thriller, it's called. Yeah, check it out. Other than that, you can follow me on socials. Actually, don't.
Oh. Nah.
I ain't posting.
You don't do no good grams?
No.
Cool. Well, thanks, Tim. Thanks, Luce.
Hey, you didn't
thanks,
ask Rob. If Luce has anything to plug.
Oh, I thought I did you both in
as a
package.
Combo thing.
But no, sorry, Luce. What are you?
Oh, no. Wow.
So much for International Women's Day, huh, Murphy?
That was yesterday, idiot. I thought that,
Luce has started up a ring toss game. Oh, that's what I was going to say. What about when the cops tow away the ring toss game? I love that part.
Well, as we always say here on Murph's Tavern,
bye.
Oh, I mean, let's fuck.
There we go.